setting things up a little bit differently this morning. Thank you. Ray's been very generous and letting me use that. And if we could just put that on there for me, that'd be great. Thank you. It's quite heavy, isn't it? Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be in church. I've been really praying about today and about what to share with you. And I'm kind of going to wrap up today about the Holy Spirit. I want to come across really relaxed. I'm not relaxed inside, but I want to come across really relaxed because God just wants so much for you. And I want to be able to share that this morning, you as an individual. So each person that's sat here, God wants you to have so much more. And you'll all be at different stages. Some of you will be really going on with God, and I've been going on with God a very long time, and some of you might not know God like other people do yet. But God's heart is towards you. Got a few technical issues there. God's heart is towards you. And I'm going to explain what I'm going to do, really. I want to talk about the access. To access God more. Is it gone off?
Your battery gone. You run out of battery soon. Run out of
battery. Kind of want to explain what I'm going to do because I've thought and prayed a lot about this today. So I'm going to talk about access to God, more access to God. I'm going to talk about more of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about you as an individual, how you can be more switched on to God and access the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about why the Bible is not the only thing, is not the only voice that we have. We have the Holy Spirit. And I also want to, at the end, I've asked Mark, he's very good, Mark, what Jed said is true, he never stands in the way of us. I've asked Mark, can we play a song at the end? Music's a big part of our house. There's always music on in our house. And I was listening, over the last few weeks, I've been listening to a lot of music. And this song was played. And as I listened to it, it just said all the words that I wanted to say to God. And we're going to play it at the end. But what I'd like you to do as I talk to you, I'm just going to pray right now. You just ask God, does he need to say something to you? And at the end, when the song plays, if you want something to be different, just lift your hands, both of them, that way to receive. It's that simple. Is that okay? Yes? Right. I'm just going to pray. Lord, let there be less of us. And not my desires or my will, but yours, God. So I've called this Holy Spirit and Us. We've heard recently from Jed and Mark that in the beginning, the Holy Spirit was present and the world was created. And I love that view that it's from space where it looks back on the earth. It's an amazing view, that. Genesis 1, verse 1. If we could have that scripture up, please, Jed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and the darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So we've heard already in the last few weeks that the Spirit was there in the beginning. You know, when we look at nature, those of you that go out and you go and stand somewhere, it might be on the top of a hill, or it might be my neighbour the other morning, drove to the seaside with a little boy of 7. He wanted to see a sunrise, and she drove to the beach. She set off at 2 o'clock in the morning so we could see a sunrise with her. And she just said to me, I can't tell you, Sue, how amazing it was. She's never done it before. And when people see, you know, some of the programs that we get to see and the animals and how everything is, you know, it's not just like a big bang and it's all come together and everything's in such order. Nature is God's handiwork, and it's fully balanced. And anybody that works outside or does anything can see that. But it is hard for us to understand the Holy Spirit, and this is the bit I want to try and help you with today. Part of the Trinity. In some ways, we feel, sometimes when we first come to God, we feel that everything is a long way away. We feel distance. And we feel, I know when I became a Christian at the very beginning, before that, I remember thinking about God. And God's Holy Spirit speaks to us before we become Christians. So, you know, any thoughts that you have, if you've not made that sort of decision to become a Christian, I want to tell you, if the God thoughts, they're through the Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us beforehand. But he can feel a very, very long way away. But God doesn't work like we work. God doesn't do distance. You know, we think, oh, God's near, or God's far, or God's God. He's with us. We heard from Lisa some very personal words about through her most difficult times, how God was close to her and helped her. And I really enjoyed listening to how the Holy Spirit's worked in her life. One of the scriptures that was read out was that God knows everything about us over the last three to four weeks when we've been studying the Holy Spirit. God knows everything about us. And I don't know what you think, but as soon as I hear that, I have this dread. Well, if God knows everything about me, that means he knows everything about me. You know, and sometimes our concept of God's not right. He's not a teacher. He's not going to tell us off. He's not going to be somebody who looks at the bad bits and points them out. He knows who we are. So when we say that God knows everything about us, that's why it says in Scripture there's no condemnation. God knows everything about you, but he loves you so much. You know, we know everything about our children, but we love them. We do, don't we? The good bits, the bad bits, the things we don't like. You might say something, I don't like that, but I tell you what, we absolutely love them. The Holy Spirit reveals in your life that you are loved. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. You are loved. Do you really know that? Do you really know that God loves you? Romans 5, verse 5. Jed, if you could put that up, please. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Holy Spirit helps us to love. Helps us to love God and love others. He's our helper. He's our comforter. That was really obvious when I listened to Lisa, how much he's comforted and helped and continues to comfort and help. You know, this lot isn't a one-off. God doesn't comfort us 4 or 5 years ago and it not be there again. God continues in our needs and our situations to comfort us. Those that have lost someone, he continues to comfort. Those that have had news that's not good news, he continues to comfort and help and give peace. You know, when you watch something like a hurricane, when you watch that and it's spinning round and it's going round and round, the quietest place apparently is in the middle. Yet when you look on the outside, you wouldn't think that. He gives us our peace. One of the things that stops us from accessing God is unbelief. So if you are struggling to access God, then just, you know, are you believing? Are you trusting God? And those of you that have been going on for a while and those that haven't, in Hebrews 11, you'll read about faith and what faith is. I'm not going to read it because it's a full chapter, but go back to Hebrews 11. I call it the faith chapter. You see, with our eyes, we can see this world. We see it physically. We see what's happening. But do you know, there are spiritual things going on all the time that you don't see. There are things going on all the time that you do not see. And it's the easiest thing for us, Christian, non-Christian, to push the spiritual side of things to the future. So easy for us to push the spiritual to the forward, to think it's all about heaven. But you're here first. So don't push the spiritual stuff away and push it forward. The spiritual stuff has to happen now. I've been reading Tozer, and he wrote, "A spiritual kingdom lies about us, enclosing us, embracing us, within reach of our inner selves, waiting for us to recognize it. It's waiting there. Sometimes it's a bit like, imagine that it was my birthday and I got a gift. And I just left it, and it was delivered at the doorstep, and I just left it there. And every time I went in and out, I wasn't going to say this, it just popped in my head. Every time I go in and out, the gift is there. And I go in, and then later on I go out, the gift is there. And then I do that quite a lot. That gift is always there for me, and it's waiting and ready for me to pick up and open it. And that's like us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always there. God is always there waiting for us to pick up what we need to. It's a gift. And it can be an unopened gift. And my encouragement to you this morning is open that gift. You see, people in our society don't know God. They see everything physically, but they don't know things spiritually. When I look around and I watch people and I see people, I think, they don't know our God. And I start to pray, and I've been praying for quite a while, God, how do we break through, Lord, for people who do not know you? My heart aches for people who do not know God. So my prayer at the moment is that the people find God and that there's a breakthrough. It says in God's word, and this is what I cling to, if my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. So Christians, on Tuesday, part of your prayer is, God, heal our land. God, speak to the people I know, speak to my family, speak to my neighbours, speak to the person I bump into. God, give me something for someone else. It's not about me. Be surrendered. Our part is to surrender to his Spirit, where Father and Son are revealed. That's what God wants to do all the time. He wants to reveal himself. Psalm 139. David wrote this. David wrote, I can never escape from your Spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. There's no dark place in God. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You know, we've got five senses, haven't we? So I'm going to do a Jed here now. What are the five senses? You have to be a bit louder. Touch. Sight. Hearing. Taste. Smell. Okay, brilliant. Well done. If you've not got one of those, life can be a bit tough. You can't hear. We have people with hearing impairment here. If you can't see, we have people here who can't see very well. If you can't smell, if you can't taste, life's tougher. And the big deals, those of you that had COVID and lost your sense of smell and taste will know, it was a big deal not being able to taste your food and a big deal not being able to smell. The Holy Spirit activates the dead man, the natural man. And that's why it's so important for us to believe about the resurrection. Because by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, he raises our mortal bodies. So it's so important that we believe about the resurrection. Because it's that Spirit, God's Spirit within us, that works with us. And it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, it's great that our connection with God can be at home, it can be here, it can be walking to school, it can be walking your dog. it can be in the workplace, it can be in the car. Your connection with God, it's brilliant, can be anywhere. It's not like Wi-Fi, where it's dodgy. It's never dodgy. Your connection with God is 100%. It'll never fail. I want you to pop up the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13. And we're one body with many parts. The human body has many parts, but many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. We've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we share the same Spirit. You know, you look around this room, we're all different. There's no person that looks like me, thank goodness. We're all different when we look at each other, aren't we? We're all from different places, all from different heritage. Some of us have got glasses on, some haven't. We're all different. But I want to say to you this morning, when I first wasn't well a few weeks ago, my prayer to God was, I'm hungry and thirsty for you, God. And I want you over these next few weeks to help me, but for me to use this time wisely. You see, in God's economy, there's no situation that you ever face that is a waste. I said this a few weeks ago when I started to think about it. There's no situation that's a waste. And I want to encourage you that if you're hungry and thirsty for God, talk to God. Tell him you're hungry and thirsty. Tell him you want more of him. Tell him you want him to do more in your life. Tell him you want him to be bigger than what he is. And he will. You see, the woman at the well was told, it's one of my favourite stories, that Jesus could provide her that she'd never thirst again and she'd never be hungry again. She didn't have a Bible. She didn't have a theology degree. She didn't have anything, only the words that Jesus spoke. That's all she had. And she trusted him. When we ask God, when we're hungry and thirsty, what it gives us is a God focus. What it gives us is a looking up focus. What it gives us is a not looking down focus, not a belly button focus, not looking down there, but it gives us a looking up focus, and it gives us an outward focus. You know, in the culture that we're in, it's very focused on the me, isn't it? Very focused on what people can have, what they look like, how they dress, what they live in, what they buy. But our God is totally different than that. Our God wants us to look at him. And we can be then the best that we can be in God. We'll have a better relationship with him, looking up and having the right focus. Because what we'll develop then is a sensitivity, and we'll be receptive to what God tells us. A few weeks ago, I sat at home and I was praying for my neighbour. And she won't mind me sharing this because I know it's recorded. Praying for my neighbour, and I've been praying for my neighbour now for 18 months. My neighbour is a lovely single parent with a lovely boy. And she's been given notice on her house for over a year. And she's had this uncertainty of not being homeless. And it's really affected her. And every now and again she'll knock on the door. And every now and again she comes with tears. And all I do is hug her. Don't say anything to her, I give her a hug, invite her in. And I love her little boy, and her little boy loves me. And the other day, I was praying for her. I was praying for her in the morning, and during that next day, I really felt I should write her a letter, which was unusual. And I said to God, what do I write? If I write this letter, Lord, what do I write? And I had these thoughts, and I wrote them down on a rough piece of paper. I waited 24 hours, I waited a bit longer, and then wrote it on nice paper, put it in a little envelope, and popped it through a door, prayed as I did it. Not long afterwards, I got this picture, and it was my letter. And it said to her that God is looking out for her, and God will find her a home, and that she shouldn't worry, and that his eyes, that he was watching her, and looking after her. And when she sent me this picture, my letter stuck on the fridge. And I thought, you know, Lord, it wasn't a big thing that I did, But she sent me the text back and she said it brought me such comfort. And I just thought that was because I felt God say to me, I need to write her a little note. And then I even prayed about what goes in it. But what a difference that has made. And we're constantly talking about this home that she's going to have. So you know, sometimes I bring props and I have a PowerPoint. I've done a PowerPoint today. But I wanted to bring you this today. This is what I call my book box. And I'm just going to pick out a few things and say, this is in my dining room at home by a sofa. And when I want to read something, I just come to my book box. And what I want to say to you is books have always been a massive part of my life. And I know for some of you they're not. You know, I tried everything to get our Jonathan to read. Unbelievable. I sat with him every night. He never read a book while he lived at our house. And he left when he was about 21. But I always read to him at night and everything. And books have been massive. I used to read a lot when I was a teenager. I used to read an awful lot. And this is my book box. And what I want to show you is, when I want to look about design or look for inspiration for ideas at home, this is my book. Okay? When I want to look about the garden, this is my little pamphlet. And I've got various other little things. I've got stuff online and all sorts of things. So this is my go-to old garden book, little leaflet. When I want to sort the dog out, when he's misbehaving, he's only three, this is my house lurcher dog that helps me to sort him out. So the other week when he wasn't coming back to me, I went back to my book and thought, I'm going to go back and sort, look at recall and see what else I can do with him. Then I decided when I wasn't well that I needed some inspiration. And I thought, it's not going to be a Christian book. I want a bestseller. And somebody gave me this. I thought, a strong woman behind a strong man. Can I get any tips? So I'm halfway through that. When I wasn't well the first few weeks, because it's been about 8 weeks, a friend of mine, who's not here today, sent this with his wife, repair shop. You've all seen that on the telly. So I'd read a chapter when I wasn't particularly at the beginning, because I couldn't concentrate. I would read a chapter and read the repair shop and read the story behind the article that had been brought in. And I've watched most of them on the telly. So that was a really nice book for me. And then when I was asking God about, I'd just come to the end of studying prayer. I thought, Lord, what's next? And I just spoke to Andy and he recommended this book, which is The God Chasers by Tom Tenney, which Andy's read a few times. It's about 20 years old, this book. I have to say, I'm halfway through it. And I did stop. And I stopped because when I read it, I've shared this with Eddie, when I read it, I felt quite a bit that it was like telling off Christians for not being closer to God. And it had a tone to it, which jarred me a little bit. Now, I'm going to go back to it, because I'm gonna read a bit more about it. But I kind of wasn't happy really with some of the things he was saying. It wasn't my heart. And I thought, theologically, it wasn't wrong, but it was the tone of it. And I said to God, but you mentioned Tozer in here, and you mentioned a book called The Pursuit of God. Now, I love this. Why do you think I like it? It's nice and thin, isn't it? I think there's 7 or 8 chapters. I'm right near the end. I can't remember that I've just read chapter 7 or I've got to read it. But I'm on my last chapter. I have really, really, really enjoyed this. Really enjoyed this. And it's really been good to just, when I ordered this, I sort of said to God, I really want to pursue you, God. I really want to get more from you. So I bought that. And I also ordered at the same time, this is an old favourite of mine that I lent to someone, and it's not a problem because it's nobody in here. I didn't get it back, and I thought, after I've done The Pursuit of God, I'm going to reread this, which is about basically fanning the flame of the Holy Spirit. And I read this a long time ago, and it really changed my spiritual life. So I'm going to go back to that after I've done this pursuit of God. But I'm going to tell you one final thing. I'm struggling to get it a mark. Could you just lift that out there for me? Just lift it out, please. Thank you. Of everything I've ever read, this is the book that's changed my life. This is the book that I can read something. And the other day I read that God is the same yesterday, today and forever. And as I sat and prayed afterwards, what dropped into my heart was, why God is the same yesterday, today and forever. And I'd never ever thought about this in all this time I've been a Christian. Never. And it was the thought of, I can't improve. I can't get any better. I can't change and be better. I'm not one that dips in consistency. I'm a consistent God. I'm a God that will never change because I am perfect. There's nothing that can change about me. There's nothing that can improve. There's nothing about anything I do that dips like we do. Because we do as people. And I read that and I thought, wow, God, I've read that all my life, most of my Christian life, from being 14. I've known that scripture early on, and I've never had that revelation of why you're the same. And that's why this book is so important. Because God, through his Holy Spirit, expands what's on that page, and it cuts through sharper, it says, than any two-edged sword. And you can read something as a Christian, and you can go back to something, and God will say something different because of his Holy Spirit. And that's why this book is life-changing. I love it when people go to this book and they say, and Mark and I have discussed this, you've got certain people who've gone to take this book to pieces, and they've become Christians because of what's written in it. They read about love, they read about Jesus, they read about history, and there's so much in it. And when people say to me about this book, you know, I've started now to say, have you read it? And they go, no. And I go, well, you need to read it, because a lot of what you're saying isn't true. And if you read it, you'd be amazed at what's in the book. So that book has revolutionized and changed my life, and it will do until I'm not here. That's the brilliant thing about it. Until I've popped my clogs, this book is going to change my life all the time. I'm just going to finish with this now. God's word has power. It corresponds with Genesis 1. It's as powerful as Genesis 1 when God created the world. He created out of chaos, he created order. That could be our lives. We can be in chaos and God brings order. He changes darkness into light, what he's done for us. You see, everything in the Bible holds true, and we just need the Holy Spirit. So every time I open this, I ask God to speak through his Holy Spirit. God hasn't had this book printed and bound, and then he's silent. God's voice is continually speaking, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You see, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, some of you will be a bit frightened, and you'll think, oh, it's weird and wacky. I want to tell you that my God and the Holy Spirit is not weird and wacky. And when I read the Bible and it talks about people being spoken to with the Holy Spirit, quite often it's that still, quiet voice. He's not somebody running around the church doing somersaults. So what I want to say is, do not be frightened of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Spirit expands that word. The Holy Spirit speaks to you individually and personally in the way that you will understand. So God continues to have a voice. And how is he going to speak to you? Through his Holy Spirit. You've got to hear it. Holy Spirit and the Word. You've got to hear the Word of God. You've got to read the Word of God. Or be in a meeting where there's the Word of God, but you have to. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, but the Word of God is life-changing. And as we get to know him more, our awareness of him will increase our faith. It increases our love and it increases our patience. And the visible things around us that we feel are so important will become so much less important. Because what we have around us, I want to tell you, isn't important. This voice, this Holy Spirit, you will have now and forever and ever and ever and ever. It's a continuing conversation. It's a continuing relationship. It will never end. So my prayer is, open my eyes, open your eyes, that we see the real God and we see what's real around us. Look up, don't look down. I really don't think that we realise how close God is. I really don't think that we do. And that's something that I'm asking God more and more to show me. So I'm going to play this song now, and you can sit where you are. And I just want it to be a personal conversation with you and God. You can close your eyes. Nobody's going to be watching you. And if it's a conversation you have to have with God while this song's playing or at the end, just have it. And if you feel that you want to worship, and then just put your hands out. And just, you're almost giving yourself to God. It's that surrender. And then Matt will close. Okay?